What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moxie Betts, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Today, we're talking NBA playoffs with our guest, Martin Weiss of the Extra Points Podcast Network, the host of the Lemon Pepper Pod, and also Fox Sports Radio. How are you doing today, Martin?
Doing well. How are you, Katie?
I am good. Did you happen to watch the Tom Brady roast last night?
I did. I saw like, I don't know what I missed. I turned it on and Ron Burgundy was roasting seemingly everybody.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of Randy Moss's, but I saw from there on.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, one, I started late. I started at like 11 o'clock because I was watching some weird true crime situation that I had to like finish and see the end of. And then so I started it a little bit later and then I ended up watching it until like 1 a.m. I didn't realize it was 3 hours long. But
so
man, I mean, yeah, first of all, he took a lot of things on the chin. Giselle caught a lot of strays, a lot of jujitsu jokes about her and her new boyfriend. And the only thing that was interesting, and maybe if you tuned in a little bit later, I believe it was, I can't remember which comedian it was, but he made a comment about Robert Kraft getting the massages. And that is the only time that Tom Brady stood up and he was like, cut that shit out. And so I guess that's the only person that was off limits. Yes. All
right. That was the only one Kraft caught a few, I felt like, but that one, because at first I saw the tweet, like when they clipped it out and they said, we almost had a Will Smith situation. And I was like, they're exaggerating a bit. Then I saw him get up. I was like, keep his name out your mouth.
Right. Like, say what you want about my ex-wife. Say what you want about me and my kids and how I chose my career over my family and how my wife is now banging a jiu-jitsu instructor. But don't say anything about Robert Kraft. I get it. He's an older man. And, you know, maybe there's some respect there. But I found that to be interesting. I thought that Nikki Glaser, if you haven't watched it, go back and watch her set. It was hysterical. And she was the only female there. And she ended up getting a standing ovation. From the crowd. But y'all, if you haven't watched it yet, make sure you tune in and watch that. And our boss, Peyton Manning, also was a surprise guest there, at the end. But then he dipped out and then Tom had quite a lot to say about Peyton. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk round two of the NBA playoffs. How about those Cavs, right? Rallied past the Magic 106-94 in game 7. I believe they had like an 18-point deficit at one time, 39 points from Donovan Mitchell. And it was, I believe it was their largest comeback since the league started play-by-play, which is amazing. Were you surprised? Because the Cavs started out that series really lazy. I didn't think much of them. Then they come back to rally, winning game 7, overcoming 18 points. What do you think of this Cavs team? Can they go far? Does the buck stop here? Because now they got the Celtics.
No. Buck stop. The buck is returned to the bank. Like, Survey says absolutely not. First off, I was devastated. Oh. I mean, heartbroken watching the Orlando Magic and just miss shot after shot after shot. Franz Wagner, who is close to my heart as a Michigan, he played Michigan basketball. I'm a Michigan alum. He picked the best time to have his worst game of his entire life. Like, he's never played that bad ever. I'm willing to bet ever. He gone 1 for 16 from the floor? It was really honestly remarkable. I felt bad for the guy down a certain moment. But I hate the way that this Cavs team tanked game 82 and was rewarded by winning their first round playoff series. It irks me. It bothers me to my core because sports is about winning and trying hard. And tanking is just against what I believe in. But the Magic folded in that second half faster than J. Cole and a rat beef. I was just very disappointed in the way it all went down. But two teams that have, I mean, to say one-dimensional offenses is the exaggeration. They have one player who can score on either team, and that's Donovan Mitchell and Paolo Banchero. Yep. And that's pretty much how it played out.
First of all, I didn't even know that you were a Michigan man, and now I see the blue rain behind you there. So congratulations on that. We'll talk about that, I guess, closer to the national champions. And I think you're still going to be good coming here in the next season, but that's neither here nor there. All right. So you talk about tanking and getting rewarded. Well, the good thing is now they have to go against the number one seed in Boston. So these odds for the series are ridiculous. Celtics minus 1600, Cavs minus 900. Neither of us are playing that one. How many games do you think the Cavs can actually win in this series?
Maybe a half. Swept?
Oh.
Maybe a half a game?
You're going like, Celtics in four.
I will say Celtics in five because the thing about – but it's really truly all about Boston and the way that Boston plays. I don't like the way that Boston plays. I think that, you know, silly me, you know, the team – you know, you should go to the rim sometimes. You should mid-range is okay, as we saw in the Western Conference playoffs. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's okay to shoot from the mid-range. Those two points still count. But Boston doesn't put enough pressure on the rim for me, meaning they don't get to the free throw line enough. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we're gonna see it happens all the time with these jump shooting teams, except for the Golden State Warriors a few different times. And, you know, they had the best shooter of all time. And then Klay Thompson as well as his running mate. So, you know, that maybe those are outliers. But there's going to be a moment in time where Boston doesn't shoot well from three, and that's the game that they're going to lose. Now, it just depends on how often that happens. I think against Cleveland, it happens once.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, history is not exactly on Cleveland's side here. Teams that are listed as minus 14 or higher in the second round to win a series are perfect 18-0 since 1990. So the Celtics obviously getting through here. Both teams, though, Martin, could be missing their starting centers. Cleveland, Jarrett Allen missed game 6 and 7 against Orlando with a rib contusion. He's listed as questionable ahead of game 1. And then Porzingis, obviously likely to miss this entire round due to his calf injury. Whose injury do you think is going to have a bigger impact on their team?
I think it'll be the Cleveland one because I think Boston will roll without Porzingis. I don't think they really need him in this series. And I'll say this. If they do need him in this series, that does not bode well for the future of the Boston Celtics in the playoffs.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. So Celtics in five, you can find that at plus 170 over at Caesars Sportsbook. When we look at game one here, Celtics are laying 11 points. Is this something where you're like, I'm laying the double digits? There's no way that the Cavs even come close to this. Or are you playing this a little different?
No, I think if I were to lay a side in this, it would be Celtics minus the 11. I tried to get cute last series, thinking that you know, in Miami. No. They summarily took care of business.
I know.
A historic 3-point shooting outing for the one game that Miami did win. Now, the thing that concerns me the most is historically, in this era of the Boston Celtics, I think this goes back. No, it goes back to the start of Joe Mazzulla. They're what are they now? 13-13 at home in the postseason because they were 12-13 and then beat Miami in game 5. 13-13 at home in the postseason. And that's just straight up. Like, that's just straight up. So, like, conventional logic would say bet Cleveland on the money line just every single game so far in the series, even if it does go just 4 or 5, because they have an opportunity to, you know, win and you can come up on that plus money. But I'm going to take the Celtics at 11. I'm going to be boring.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's the Celtics had such an incredible home record during the regular season. So then to flip that and just be, you know, 50-50 in the postseason is crazy. I agree with you. I think that the Boston Celtics could cover this 11 points and lay that. I might take the Cavs in the first half, plus 4. That's at minus 115. Because I feel like in all these situations, we talk about rust versus rest. Obviously, Boston's coming into this match much more well-rested, right? Because they got rid of the Heat in 5 games. And then we've had this Cleveland team that was in like a knockout, drag down fight up to 7, having to come back. They may have the energy in the first half, but they're going to get tired and they're going to fall apart in the second half. So I could see them maybe holding on to Boston in this first half, Cavs plus 4. All right, moving on to the Thunder and the Mavericks. here. This one is interesting because the Mavs really aren't kidding around. They just signed Jason Kidd to a contract extension the day before the series opener against the Thunder. The terms were not disclosed. This move takes another potential candidate away from the Lakers. There's about 9 people that are circling around for that job. How impressed have you been with the Mavs, or is it just like this is what we expect the Mavs to be?
I've been really impressed with the Mavs, and I think that this is a lesson that a team like the Lakers, for example, should learn. If you can have the opportunity to improve your team along the margins, especially mid-season, you should probably take it. Because if I told you, Katie, if I told you in November that the Mavericks were going to make a trade, and then somebody from Washington and somebody from Charlotte were going to be added to the Mavericks team, and it was going to boost their ceiling, especially defensively, you'd be like, what are you talking about? There's nobody in Charlotte or Washington to even play defense. There's no defense is over there. No.
I know.
So, but this is a thing, like because so much is about, in the NBA especially, it's about the big swings. It's about, who's going to go trading for Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and so on and so forth. A lot of times, look, you still got to fill out the roster with 5 people on the court and at least 3 people that you trust to come off the bench. Improving your team along the margins, it helped Derrick Jones. It helps guys like Josh Green, who are getting, like, you know, too many minutes for their status.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now everybody's in the right spot. Kind of what happened with the Clippers. Kawhi gets hurt. Now all of a sudden Russ has got to go from playing 15 minutes to 25 minutes. You know, and then now James Harden goes from being a distributor to, you know, having to have to score. And we've seen can't depend on either one of those. But I'll say impressed with the Mavericks, even though I did think that the Clippers were kind of a letdown. The injuries didn't do much for them.
They're always a letdown.
They're old and slow. Yeah.
Yeah. They're old and slow, and Kawhi can't stay healthy for anything. You just expect not to have him play a majority of the games in the playoffs. Well, you mentioned people like Luka, obviously. I mean, he's been incredible. And Kyrie Irving has been incredible, too. It's been years since we've seen Kyrie playing the type of ball that he's playing right now. In fact, this series does have 2 of the 3 MVP finalists in Luka and SGA. How do you think that they're going to be able to stop both Luka and Kyrie? Because I was looking at some stats, Martin. Luka is the 3rd most points at 1,090 through the first 34 career playoff games in NBA history. He's behind only Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan. And you look at someone like Kyrie Irving, he's averaging 20 points per game, or he did 20 points per game. He does in the second half of that first series. So what can the Thunder do to stop these guys?
Lock the doors in the locker room, make sure they get to the court. Like, they won't be able to.
No.
Like, they won't be able to. Because here's the thing. You got Lu Dort, who, if you remember, back in 2020, during the bubble, we were all sitting at home watching these games. All of a sudden, James Harden from Houston Rockets was just in the torture chamber by some guy named Lu Dort. Who the hell is Lu Dort? Well, now, 4 years later, he's established himself as a legit 3-and-D guy. Here's the thing. He's 6'4", all right? So can he guard Kyrie? No one can guard Kyrie, right? Yeah. No one can stay in front of him and guard him when he's really dedicated to trying to get his bucket. Just ask PJ Tucker how that goes, right? Fade away in the corner. Thank you very much. See you later. Enjoy vacation, right? So, or on the flip side, Luka, who I know his numbers have been pretty good. His efficiency's been down. And just the eye test, he doesn't seem to me to be playing at the highest level that he has in the past.
Okay.
But a lot of that has to do with the knee injury to me. Like, his knee is bothering him. And I think that's why he's shooting so poorly from 3. But even then, Lu Dort is 6'4". Luka Doncic is 6'7", closer to 6'8". So how will they be able to guard him? I imagine that they're going to try to, like, put Lu Dort on whoever's hot. But as Kyrie has shown this postseason, through his career, but especially this postseason, he'll light you up for a 30-point half. And he's perfectly fine with not – being ball dominant at times when it doesn't actually fit the team. I think the Mavericks are really rolling at a good point. And all due respect to the New Orleans Pelicans, but I don't think the Oklahoma City Thunder have really had their welcome to the playoffs moment yet.
No, I don't think so. And to be fair, the Thunder are favored in this series, -125, Mavs +105. I kind of lean towards the Mavs coming out of this series, just based on what we've seen. But who do you think wins this series?
I think the Mavericks. I'm taking the Mavericks in 6.
Okay.
But it's going to be a six that feels like seven. It's going to be a hard-fought series. Yeah. I don't think Oklahoma to let just lay down. But ultimately, between – Oklahoma City is, to me, a player or two away from being a real contender. And that player would come in the form of a big man. I think they – like, Chet played well against Jonas Valanciunas. But with the rim running of Lively and Gafford as they're running through that, and I know that Maxi Kleber is going to miss this series. If Maxi Kleber was going to play, I'd feel much better about Mavericks in six. But between Chet having to have to play that dual role and keeping those guys off of the boards, because the Clippers were formerly Lob City. Mavericks were the ones throwing the lobs, especially Kyrie from half court, mm-hmm. looking the wrong way, right? So I'm expecting that those two guards will be dynamic and score, and there's a little too much in the paint for Oklahoma City to keep up with Dallas, right?
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to take him in six. I'll just take him plus 105 to get out of there at some point. We look at game one here. Mavericks are the underdog. They're at plus 140 to take a money line, minus 165 if you want to lay that with the Thunder. The spread is 3.5, total 217. Now, Martin, Oklahoma City did have Dallas's number in the regular season. I believe they went 3-1 in their four matchups, but only one of those games had both a healthy Luka and Kyrie. Now, Luka isn't necessarily healthy, but, I mean, he's putting up some crazy numbers. Do you take the Mavs here? Plus, you want to take the points? Plus 3.5? You want to take a money line? What do you think?
I think it goes into a little bit of the kind of the rest versus rust that you were talking about earlier. Oklahoma City's been sitting at home for a long time. You know, what does a pro want? What does a pro need? Does the pro need to play? Does the pro need to sit? I'm taking the points with the Mavs here, and I absolutely hate that commercial. I am starting to dislike Oklahoma City more and more and more the more I see that commercial.
I just don't know. First of all, we can all tell that's the W in Westwood, right? That they're walking out of. Anyone who's lived in LA, you can tell what hotel they're walking. And it's just the lamest little jingle. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we are looking at the games for tonight, including the Knicks and the Pacers. Don't go anywhere. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the type of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and over must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or in Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino. Call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. License through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans, Massachusetts. If you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Moxie Betts here with our guy, Martin Weiss, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Moxie Betts here. All right, we've got two games tonight, Martin, on the schedule. The Knicks versus the Pacers. I thought the Knicks were going to game seven. I did not think that they were going to pull off that win in Philadelphia. That was very surprising to me. But now they've got the Pacers. The Knicks are favored to win the series minus 265. If you like the Pacers here, they're at plus 215. Now the Pacers did win the regular series. Season series against the Knicks 2-1. Obviously the trade acquisition of Pascal Siakam is what changed a lot of these things. What do you think of this series? Do you think the Knicks get out of this, and in how many games?
I do. I've had Knicks in six here. I was not impressed with the Indiana Pacers in the first round. And I think that if the calf injury gods had not struck the Milwaukee Bucks, we'd be looking at how does Doc Rivers blow a 3-1 lead in this series, right? Because, I mean, and just honestly, we should just have a moment of silence for calf muscles in the NBA in general. It's been rough. It's been rough. Between Kristaps, Giannis, Dame, just – can everybody just – hey, stretch. Drink some water, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's work these calves.
Eat some bananas.
But
yep.
Exactly. Eat some bananas. But, no, I'm with the Knicks here. The Pacers have not impressed me. They didn't impress me. I mean – there have been 15 instances in NBA history that the top leading scorer, here we go. 15 instances in NBA history where the top two scorers were out and the team, the 14 of those were losses. The one that was a win was last time with Bobby, and then he ended up with Bobby Portis and Patrick Beverly doing post game interviews. Like, that's not – like, when the producers who put that TV – who are directing that game, that's not exactly what they were expecting to happen. I just say that. They probably do a little research. Wait, how many teams have Pat Bev been on again? All right, anyway. And then, honestly, I think that and it was James Capers who was the referee for both of these games where, you know, Anthony Edwards got the technical foul last night. Well, if you fast forward – or rewind, rather, the last week, James Capers had two technical fouls and ejected Bobby Portis in like the first 6 minutes of game four. And I wonder if he had not, how that game would have ended, right? Because the Bucks were kind of moving and grooving. I know it was obviously super early, and as we see the NBA, it's ebbs and flows. But a guy like Bobby Portis, whenever Giannis and them step out, are out, generally steps up to add. I mean, all of his numbers go across the board. Anybody who's betting props or anything in the NBA knows if Giannis doesn't play, take Bobby Portis over. The Pacers have not impressed me so far, and I think that they will not. Who's supposed to? Okay, let me ask you this: who on the Pacers is supposed to match the output that you would expect at this point out of Jalen Brunson?
Nobody. I mean, you look at Jalen Brunson. He started a little bit slow in that last series, but I believe he had 39 plus points in each of the last final four games of that series. I don't see anybody on the Pacers that can match that. And I wonder who's going to stop him. Who's going to be able to slow Jalen Brunson down? I mean, the Pacers are very good at like keeping the pace up. But I don't think they've got really the shooters for this. And I don't know that they have the defense to be able to stop someone like Brunson. I mean, I agree with you. I think the Knicks get out of this in five. I think they can get out of this one in five, not just in six. Now, when you talk about player props, obviously you said, look, when Giannis is out, you know who to take. Is there anyone in this series that you're zeroing in on? Is it Brunson points? Do we think he's going to have the same kind of output that he had? Are you who do we like in this series?
It's less fun than Brunson. I'm taking Hartenstein under 10.5. First of all, there's only 10.5 at Caesars. It's 9.5 everywhere else. So
locked in at
Caesars.
Yes.
But the thing about Hartenstein, it felt like he could not miss in that. Everything he threw, all those lefty floaters he threw up were just bottom. But here's the deal. A lot of those were off Brunson screens, right? And let's be honest, they're not throwing the ball to Hartenstein in the post. They're all off of screening roll, that type of deal. And Joel Embiid was just sagging and sagging further and further because, you know, hurt knee, whatever you want to say. He just was not pressing up.
Facial paralysis with Bell's palsy. I mean, what wasn't he dealing with?
I had done a radio hit. They had asked me, like, you know, picking that series, right? And I said, I wasn't too worried about the knee, but I was worried about whatever Joel, because he has the weirdest playoff injury. I said, whatever Joel Embiid's new injury will be, that's the one I'm concerned about. I had never even heard of Bell's palsy before. Like, what is this? I thought it was like, what is this? Like, what do you mean? His face doesn't move? That's crazy.
Literally. But, it is crazy. I had a friend that had Bell's palsy, so that's the only reason why I knew what it was. And yeah, it's like facial paralysis. You can't move your face and you have to do all kinds of physical therapy and like I think they do acupuncture and all these things to try to get your face to start working again. I can't imagine playing with Bell's palsy.
And I can't imagine walking outside. No. Playing basketball.
Let alone national television with a face that won't move. Exactly. I know. It's insane.
I would have never thought that would have been the injury. But as a result, as we just outlined, Joel Embiid had, let's just say, a lot of stuff going on.
And
challenging Hartenstein on those little floaters wasn't there. Yes. I think Miles Turner getting his grill a little bit. And so I think we'll end up seeing him under 10.5 as long as he doesn't go to the free throw line too much.
Okay, I love that. Lock that in now, too, before it moves here, especially on Caesars at that 10.5. Yeah, this line, Knicks 5.5. The total is 217. And I think I am going to take Pacers under 105.5 of their team total. And it's kind of what we talked about earlier, like who's going to be scoring all of these points. Like defense is going to be a key factor for the Knicks in this series. We certainly saw them do a pretty good job of that in the last series. The Pacers shot 59% and 61% from the field in their two regular season games that they won. In their one loss at MSG, they shot just 45%. And that was before OG. He did not play in any of those three games. And obviously, I think he's a good matchup for Siakam. We saw Siakam go crazy on them in the regular season. I like that matchup. So I do think that it's going to be harder for these Pacers to score at Madison Square Garden. So I'll take them under their team total of 105.5. What do you think of Knicks fans? I feel like they're kind of polarizing.
They talk about Knicks fans like they're Cowboys fans. I think they just want their team to be good. They haven't been good forever.
Yes.
Like, I don't have a big issue or beef with it. Like, I think what ends up happening is the people see, like, obviously New York, like California has a ton of people who both move in and move out, right? So, like, you meet these people who have moved left New York, and they become these unrepentant Knicks stands, right? They talk about how Melo was doing this and that. They remember, like, regular season games because there's nothing else to hang on to. Well, I think that on the aggregate, that the Knicks fan is just – I mean, they're just more of them, right? There's just so many more of them because there's no team, all due respect to the Brooklyn Nets, that segments the fan base, right? Even in L.A., you have a little bit of, like, there's some Clippers fans, a few of them, right? But not in the grand scheme. But that's where it is with me. I don't hate the Knicks fans or anything like that. But I've been surprised to see the way that people talk about them. I don't get it.
Yeah, they're a spirited bunch. And to your point, too, I think because they haven't won in so long, they win one playoff game and they've shut down 7th Avenue, right? And they're going crazy. And just the New York mentality is just so fun. And to your point, too, I feel like a lot of New York is split when it comes to football. There's Jets and Giants fans. When it comes to baseball, there's Yankees and Mets fans. But the Brooklyn Nets, I've lived in New York, you know, a couple times now. Everyone's a Knicks fan. So that's kind of the one thing that really like unites the entire city. Everybody is a Knicks fan. And I'm excited for them in this series. I think they get out in five. And I think they obviously win this first game, but I will take the Pacers under their team total. All right, finally, Nuggets versus the Timberwolves. Now, series odd Nuggets plus 105. They're actually dogs in this one. T-Wolves minus 125. The T-Wolves came out and they won the first game. Were you surprised by that?
I was not. I picked the Timberwolves in six before this started.
I think that the Nuggets are getting bounced.
I did. I do.
Okay.
I do. Okay. I think that if you – now, this is going to sound dumb on its face. But if you take away the championship from the Denver Nuggets last year, like, and you take away this the fact that they won it, right, and just kind of bake in, well, they have championship level experience. And I'm not trying to take away from that, but each team is different, right? Like, each iteration, it's like your high school yearbook, right? Like, the vast majority of the people in your class will stay the same, but some people transfer in, some people transfer out, right? And I think that when you look at, I think Minnesota is the deeper team. I should say it like this. I think the only thing that Denver has over Minnesota is, well, the best player in the world and playoff experience, which are two really big things to have. But the guy who built the Denver Nuggets, Tim Connelly, also is in the process. He's been the GM of the Timberwolves for the last few years. Everybody made fun of him, myself included, when they traded for 4 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert. And then, but with that, what it allows them to do now is they have 3 different people, like 3 different credible in terms of size and space, that can guard Jokic. Now, guard Jokic, I should say, stay in front of Jokic, right? You know what I'm saying? Jokic is going to get hit. Like, that's inevitable. But you look
they
at
did
like
a good Lakers. Job of limiting him in the first game. I mean, he did not go crazy.
But I mean, limited. He still had like 30-something points. And, you know, the point, yeah, you know, that's what I'm
Fair.
Saying. Like, when you look
Fair.
At the numbers, you know.
Yeah.
But again, still to your point, 2 for 9 from 3. He shot 25 times. If you've watched Jokic play, you know he wants to shoot like at the most 20 times to get everybody else involved. That's his sweet spot. So with that, and allowing – if a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns cannot commit dumb fouls, which, I mean, he picked up a foul literally in the first possible instance that you could on the opening tip. Like, you got to be kidding me, Carl. Do you know what I just went and said about you on a podcast? Like, stop. But they have 3 credible people that can bang with Jokic at any moment in time. And I think that can throw the Nuggets off. And I think a lot of it has to do with Tim Connelly knowing I just built Denver. How do I go and beat Denver? Well, this is the way to do it. I think the Timberwolves are the deeper team. And I don't think that there's anybody on Denver that can guard Anthony Edwards.
Okay, fair. I still think the Nuggets get out of this series. Speaking of, you're a Lakers fan, right? I feel like I remember that about you.
Not really. I just live in LA.
Oh, you just live in LA. All right. But the one thing I will say about Denver fans is that, like, yes, you guys won one, but, like, chillax on, like, you're the next dynasty, all right? I'm a Warriors fan, been there, done that. People who are Lakers fans kind of been there, done that. Like, yes, you've won one, but I feel like Denver is acting like they're the next dynasty in the NBA. Now, I still think that they get out of this series. I do think that I just don't know that you could keep Jokic – like you said, going 2 for 9 and those kind of things. I think he's going to get out. He's going to have a better game. Right now, the Nuggets are favored in this game too, -5.5. I think they were embarrassed in game one, and I think they come out swinging here. So I'm laying this 5.5 with the Nuggets. Is this, you think they go down 2-0 or you think they get one back here?
I think the Nuggets end up winning this game. And I think they'll cover as well. When you see, I mean, just the game script of it all lines up to where, or the series script, I should say. You know, we talk about game script and you think about how is this game going to play out. Well, generally, when top seeds go down in the first game, they come out in game two and just curb stomp the opponent. I don't think Minnesota will do that, but I do. When we look at 5.5, that's 2 possessions in today's NBA, right? Well, I guess in all NBA since the 3-point line invented, but the point remains, like, you see 6-0 runs in 35 seconds, right? All it takes is back-to-back 3-pointers made. So I like the Nuggets here tonight, -5.5, and then I like Minnesota to win both at home.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so you've got Minnesota winning in six. So now when we look at the NBA Finals, Celtics are the favorite, plus 110. I mean, they've gotten there, but they haven't really gotten over the hump. Then you got the Nuggets defending champs, plus 450. And then these Timberwolves, plus 500. So this remains. You think that the Timberwolves are getting out of this one? Do you think that the Timberwolves could win the whole dang thing?
I do. I do think they can win the whole thing. Again, because it's more about I think whoever gets out of the West will win it, right? And I think, honestly, the winner of this series, Denver and Minnesota, is going to be your eventual NBA champion because of the way that Boston played. After a while, I just think if Boston had a little bit more diversity of shot selection, if Boston was more aggressive to the rim, like I would love to just be like, yes, I love Boston here, because then, you know, I won't look like a jerk when this comes out, you know, months later, and people are like, wow, this guy really hated on the Celtics. How could you hate on the Celtics? Best regular season team of all time. I don't know. Right. Yep, but the Warriors in 2017 were, I've said this backwards. The 24 Timberwolves are the first Western Conference team since the 2017 Warriors shut out 5-0. 11 teams have done it since 1996. Of those 11 teams, all of them but two made the conference finals. And again, of those 11 teams, seven of them won the Western Conference. So, in generally, we're looking at, if you think about teams that sort of sweep the first round of the playoffs, they're overwhelmingly going to be a one seed or a two seed. You know what I'm saying? They're pretty much overwhelmed. This is a three seed here who started out 5-0, and I think it bodes well. And I think that, like, there's something to the idea. You saw the way that Minnesota came out game one. If they can keep that intensity, I think it's going to be huge for them. Especially, too, again with the calf strain, Jamal Murray wasn't playing great against the Lakers in general, despite having two game-winning shots. But that calf strain, I mean, apparently they were crying. He was crying in the background. You got to let me play, coach. And Malone is like, I can't risk you. And, you know, it's like, you know, kind of a Rocky moment there. He's like, I got to go out and get him. I got to fight. But you know, that's all well and good for like one game, but consistently over having to monitor the injuries. I think it's going to be tough for Denver, especially if Murray's hobbled in any way.
All right, so you're leaning Timberwolves plus 500 in this one. I think the Nuggets get out of this series, so I'm going to take them to win the whole thing. Because like you said, I don't know that anyone in the East is going to beat the Celtics, but when the Celtics get to the NBA Finals, I don't know what happens to them. But they're like the 49ers. They figure out a way to fall apart at one point. They just can't seem to get it done in a best of seven. So I'll go Nuggets plus 450. All right, Martin, thank you so much for joining us today. Talk to us about your new radio show, because you're live in Detroit, I believe, right?
Yes, I will be doing a show that will be broadcast in Detroit. It will be noon to 3 Eastern time, 9 to noon my time, but that doesn't quite matter. Noon to 3 Eastern time. On 1270 AM. It'll also be streaming on iHeartRadio, and there'll be podcasts of all of it. So just in case you're not, you know, locked in Detroit radio, you can go ahead and stream it regardless. We'll do a mix of live. I mean, I'm doing a mix of local commentary and also some national stuff. Right now, you got the Tigers playing. Just gave up a heartbreaker to the Yankees in an empty stadium because it was raining. And but former Tiger manager Brad Ausmus on that Yankees bench. In that dugout there, but yeah, we'll be talking about the Tigers, the Lions, the Pistons, and the Red Wings as it becomes relevant. But also, of course, doing a ton on the NBA playoffs and the upcoming Lions season. Lions again with another great draft. You know, last year everybody was talking about all the draft graders were like, "Oh, Lions are gonna F. How dare you take a running back? How dare you take a tight end? How dare you take an inside linebacker?" Well, you know what? All they did, you know, all of those guys did. They played and were impactful. And that's the key. That's the thing about drafting, Kay. That's what people miss about NFL drafting. They talk about, you know, you can't take a running back. What you can't do, you can't miss on a running back in the first round. You can't miss on a slot corner. You know what I mean? You got to get guys to get out there and play.
Preach. You know, I love that you're doing Detroit radio as well, because you were one of the people that really stood up for Detroit fans and the way that they travel. And you were just like, they're about their team and they love this team. And you gave them so much prop and credit for how well they traveled last season. So I love that you're in the dirty D now and talking to them about. And I agree. I think the Lions are going to be great this year. I think the Bears are kind of sneaky. I think the Bears are going to be sneaky. I really love the draft that they have. And nobody is set up. No rookie quarterback has been set up the way that Caleb Williams is going to be set up in that division. I was high on the Bears last year. I think I was just a year too early. But certainly the Packers are better now, and the Lions are great. So the NFC North is finally going to be a fun one to watch.
I think the one thing that I think people are penciling in the Green Bay Packers to place there. I don't know if they should be. I think the Cowboys had like maybe two or three linebackers, that we would be singing a different tune about Green Bay, because that postseason performance, while impressive, I think was more about the Cowboys than Green Bay. And plus, too, Matt LaFleur just tore his pec muscle working out. What's this guy paying attention to? Is he drawing up formations, or is he trying to get swole? You know, what's going on here?
What are we doing? He is very good looking, though. I will say he's one of my favorite coaches in terms of his face card. But on that note, we're going to get out of here. Thank you for watching Moxie Betts. Obviously, don't forget to tune in with Martin on his new radio show, iHeartRadio in Detroit. Also, you can catch him with the Extra Points Podcast Network and the Lemon Pepper Pod. I don't know if I ever asked you, by the way, why lemon pepper? Why is that your favorite?
It was when we started this podcast many iterations ago. We would bet back and forth lemon pepper wings, me and Rob Parker. And now the name has remained, although the hosts have changed. But yeah, we would bet back and forth lemon pepper wings. I bet because this was back when LeBron and the Lakers had the Suns in the first round, the DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, Monty Williams Suns. And I was like, the Lakers are going to win. And Rob was like, I bet you six lemon pepper, they get swept. And, you know, neither one of us were right, but that's where it all started.
Okay. I love that. That's actually a very good story. All right. We're going to get out of here. Make sure you tune in with our friend Martin Weiss, and follow us on social if you haven't already, at Moxie Betts. We'll see you next time.